All right, here we go.
Great.
Hey there, I'm Nick. I'm in my 20s trying to figure out life and what faith has to do with it. I've got a lot of questions, probably very similar to the ones you've got. But here's the thing. I'm looking for a better answer, and it's difficult to find someone who can help. So I'm bringing on Kyle, a mentor of mine, who's going to help me find a better answer. You want to start us with something epic?
Epic?
Epic.
Yeah, let's start epic.
3, 2, 1, go.
Wait, it was on me?
It's on you. 3, 2, 1.
Oh, how about epic the Olympics?
How about what is epic?
Okay.
You're talking about epic like it's a person?
The most epic race I've ever seen in my life was the men's 1500.
So last time you were here, all you could talk about was the women's 10K.
Yeah, I know.
And now we're here. Yeah. All you can talk about is the women's or the men's.
Ooh, we can start with epic. Do you know
Epic Games, Fortnite?
That Safwan Hassan from the Netherlands, she medaled in the women's 5,000, 10,000, and she won the gold medal in the marathon, all in the same exact Olympics. Do you know how insane that is?
I don't, but it sounds hard.
I don't even. It's like Otani who hits and pitches, or Bo Jackson who played football and baseball, or Deion Sanders who did both those things. It's like that, but with a third thing they do.
Guys, I don't know anybody. Just
crazy. Is that the kind of epic you were looking for?
Yeah, that's great. Hey, like, comment, subscribe if you want more epic.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we're going to start and transition to welcome back to A Better Answer. Kyle's here. We got him.
Yeah.
We pinned him in his office, and we put a shock collar around his neck, and we said,
"Yeah, I can't
go
leave
record
until we finish recording." It's like, at least 25 minutes, and then you can go.
I don't know. What, let's see, Kyle. Let's see. I think we should talk about fear.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about this earlier. So just like an hour ago, you had me in a new-ish meeting, right?
Yeah.
And I felt myself afraid, scared,
mm-hmm.
Because there were like a lot of people who make decisions in the room, and I think this ties with what we were just talking about. Like, fear prevents movement, right?
Yep.
So I don't know. Okay, let's talk about fear/courage. And somebody said it very clearly recently that I love. Courage is moving even when you feel fear, right?
Yep.
Not getting rid of the fear, so then you can move.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk about that, because I think, as I've gone through the past few months, fear has kept me from just kind of paralyzed, and nothing happens.
Okay.
So can we talk about
that?
Let's
talk about that. Give us more of the flavor of how has fear kept you paralyzed? Paralyzed from doing what? Exactly.
I haven't bought a bike yet. Because I'm afraid of failing for some reason. And that somehow not buying a bike is in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't have a hobby.
Yeah.
I keep not getting one because I'm afraid.
Of?
I feel like a failure already.
Like you're going to get a bike and then not ride it? So why get the bike?
No, like actually getting one is the problem. I know it sounds weird.
Like you're going to pick the wrong bike.
Yeah, actually, maybe. Yeah, like it's some sort of like performance, like I'm not going to achieve what I set out to do.
Oh.
Yeah.
A fear of failure.
Yep.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about fear of failure.
Okay.
Let's make that the
fear
title
of, failure.
Of this episode.
Okay. Can we talk about symptoms first? Because I didn't know about it.
Sure.
Until, I mean, I'm still defining it. It's kind of hard to define.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so symptoms. Paralyzation, that's one I know. You're just stuck, you're not moving, right?
Mm-hmm.
Playing scenarios in your head where you are losing, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
Ooh, or like getting really excited about what could be, but feeling really overwhelmed by it. Like just overwhelmed, like, no, can't do it. Can't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, that's what I have for you.
So,
Is that too abstract? Is this idea too abstract?
No, I think again, if we put the you could put a lot of different labels over all of that.
Yeah,
but
right,
because there's some layers to it. But I really want to hit on fear of failure.
Okay,
because I think that's something that every single person listening has to battle. I have to battle. You have to battle.
Yep.
Of, well, but what if I fail?
Okay.
What if I don't achieve what I want? What if I set out and I fall short? And then that fear is the foundation for all kinds of other fears.
Mm-hmm.
Because then what if I find out I'm not as good as I thought?
Yep.
Right? What
that's
if people reject me? What
right.
if I end up embarrassed? Fear of embarrassment, fear of rejection, fear of finding out, again, I'm not as good as I want. So that's a bunch of layers, but I think that paralyzation is the thing to key in on. And so for everyone listening, you know, if you want to attach into this moment that Nick's experienced, I'd go, where in your life are you paralyzed? Where do you want to take a step forward in something, but you're not?
Right.
You're just not moving at all. Maybe it's exercise or diet. Maybe it's a different career path. Maybe it's dating somebody. I don't know where it is.
Yeah,
you're just, you want something and you're doing zilch about it.
Right.
Chances are in that thing, you have a fear of failure.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to always interject scripture in as fast as possible to all this, right? Because in this podcast, a better answer, to be really clear, I don't think Kyle Ranson has a better answer. I do think that scripture has a better answer, always.
Yep. Yep.
And so I want to get us to God's answer in scripture as fast as possible. And the thing that came to mind first when you were talking was this verse from Ephesians 2.
Yep.
And it says this. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them."
This is one of my favorite verses, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah. This is the first, maybe the first one I memorized.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. That's awesome. I think we're on the right track. Now, that verse makes some claims that I think apply to fear of failure.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So let's just talk worldview, because this has been helpful in a couple different contexts for me lately as I'm trying to explain things to people. Worldview is my latest thing. So go with me for a second. There's different worldviews about the future, okay? Secular worldview, which is the pop culture worldview, the one that if you don't believe in any higher power or anything, it says a couple of things. One, it says that the beginning of the story, so before we get to future, let's talk about origins of the story. Origins were accidental and unintentional and started from nothing. And will end in nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's the basic idea of like there was nothing and then something happened to nothing and then somehow that nothing became other types of something and eventually that something became you, but you're a complete accident. There's no purpose. Yeah. There's no meaning. There's nothing.
Right.
Eventually the universe expands until it burns out of energy and then everything turns cold and you die. Right?
When you say that, it's just wild. Just imagine we're even conscious. Conscious?
Yeah.
Conscious. It's just crazy.
Well, and even in that view, consciousness is a debatable. Are you conscious or are you a string of protons that are arranged in a predetermined pattern you have nothing to do with? And so therefore every thought, feeling, emotion you have is actually a prescription and it's not really you doing anything. That's a whole nother philosophy that you can run down.
Right.
That comes out of the multiversal philosophy world, which is now somehow our superhero worlds, which I love. I love all the Marvel multiverse. Every time I'm like, do you know what that like?
Yeah.
What's in there?
Yeah.
You are you because there's an infinite number of yous doing all the different possibilities at any moment, and you just happen to be the one that's this one. It's really strange.
Wow.
Anyway,
I
say all that just to ground us on the distinct difference between the secular worldview and the biblical worldview.
Mm-hmm.
The origin story of the biblical worldview is you're not an accident.
Mm-hmm.
You're highly, highly intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Psalms says that every single day of your entire life was written before a single one of them came to be. All of them.
Wow.
It says that God knows everything about you.
Is this where I interject a question about free will?
Yeah, sure.
Really?
You want to? Yeah,
no,
go for it.
I feel like that's a huge, okay, if all my days are written,
Yeah.
Free will?
Yes. Yeah. I would say free will. Yeah.
So is it a knowledge then?
Yeah.
Of like how God's outside of time? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah. I think God has a purpose.
Okay.
For your whole life. And I think every day of your life, he has a purpose and a hope for you. But I do not think you're a robot who is unable to make any choices.
So you think the purpose is written? I'm going to find whatever
yeah,
this
I
is.
Think there's a purpose written.
What know? Is
it? I think
when located?
God made you, we're recording this on Monday, August 12th. I don't know what day this will come out.
Yeah.
What day do you think?
Two Mondays from
Wait,
next Monday.
That's the, so many Mondays
it's
I can't count.
The Monday from next Monday.
Okay. So whatever that Monday is. God has today. Let's just go with that. God thought about today before you were ever born.
Yep.
He has a purpose for you in the day.
Yep.
Is that purpose like something incredibly specific? You know, a lot of people get all bent out of shape trying to follow God's blueprint for their life.
Yep.
And they'll, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, there's an exact path. And if I stray off, if God wanted me to order a medium Diet Coke and I got a large Diet Coke at lunch, like I am screwed. It's awful. My life's over.
Yeah.
There's people who think that, like really think that. Like, and I'd say, no, it's not that.
Right.
It's not that. But there is a direction God has for you. There's a purpose to your day. It's not random. It's not accidental. It's not, and it's unique to who you are. Your day today is different than my day today.
Yeah. Can I read it?
Yeah.
So this is Psalm 139, 16 and 17. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God, that cannot be numbered.
Yeah.
That's kind of wild to interact with. I see how it kind of pairs with Ephesians 2:10 with like the path that so that you should walk in them, right?
Mm-hmm.
The good works he laid out for you in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Big picture, right? Mm-hmm. If we don't get lost in the individual minutia of free will versus am I a robot, whatever, and just go like, okay, zoom up.
Yeah.
In your origin story is an all-powerful being who created you with intense purpose.
Yeah.
And not just like, Nick, I really hope stuff works out for you.
right.
But says that he's so thought about you that he knows your future and he's planned out every single day of your whole life and has a goal for your life. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, my hope would be, if you're listening, that would give you peace.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? You're not an accident. You're not alone. You're the opposite. You're on purpose, and you have a God who's so close to you.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the thoughts in your head before you ever say a word out loud.
That's a lot to interact with. So the first thing that comes to my mind is like, okay, can I mess it up? Like, okay, so I feel fear.
Yeah.
I feel fear today, let's say, and there's something that I could do if I was fearless. It would be good and like right to do.
Yeah.
Fear stops me. Can I mess things up? Right? Like if God...
Totally. Absolutely. Okay. That's why I'd say when you said kind of interject with free will, I'd go like, yeah, I think that has to be part of this conversation.
Okay.
Because you totally can. But what you choose to do, the choices you make are dependent upon what you think is going to happen in the future.
So
that's how you make choices, right?
Right, yeah.
So let's continue on our worldview thing if we can. And I'll close it in just a second here, okay? But
okay.
We just hit origins, secular worldview origins, accidental and alone, with no purpose, nothing. God, not accidental. You're on purpose with a whole future designed for you.
Okay.
So let's talk about, that's origins. Let's talk about future state.
Mm-hmm,
I just gave the one for God.
Mm-hmm.
He says your future is actually written down with full of purpose.
Yeah.
And has good works prepared for you to walk in beforehand. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the Ephesians
I am tracking. I'm tracking with you. Stick with us.
So the secular worldview,
yeah,
there is no predetermined future.
Right.
Everything's an accident. Nothing's guaranteed. There is no, there's not even a, it's not even that you're going to win or lose.
Yeah.
You're just going to die and not exist anymore.
Yeah.
So there's no purposeful future whatsoever. Okay. That is inherent with risk. You're going to die. It's all going to add up. It's going to mean nothing. And so, yeah, I'd be super scared about doing anything different.
Mm.
Because of all of the risks associated.
Can I pose a benefit to that? Like,
sure.
What's attractive to that? Control.
Totally.
On that side, don't I get to be in control?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say because fear is the logical conclusion of this secular worldview of life, the logical application of that conclusion of fear is control. Exert immense control over your entire life.
Yep.
That would be smart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
However, me, you, sometimes we have to remind ourselves. The reason I wanted to bring this up is we have to remind ourselves, if you believe in Jesus and you're listening, you don't subscribe to any of that crap.
Yeah.
You don't believe you're an accident.
Right.
You don't believe that there's nobody looking out for you. You don't believe that there's no purpose in your life.
Yeah.
You believe the opposite. You believe what you read in Psalm 139.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That you have a God who knows you and loves you and made you. You believe what Ephesians 2:10 says, that there are good works prepared for you beforehand.
Right.
And your job is to walk in them.
Right.
Whether or not you're scared, whether or not you're afraid of failure, whether or not it makes financial sense, whether or not you walk in the good works and not with a like, ooh, this is really pitting my stomach, I don't know, but like there can be an assurance.
Yeah.
That if it's something you think God wants you to do, he's going to be with you in it.
Okay, so let me read this real quick.
Okay.
This is in Timothy, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." So you're saying you can feel the fear, but we still choose to walk, right?
Yeah. We did a series at Crossroads a decade ago, almost. So 2015, maybe it was 2014. We called it Brave.
Yeah.
Okay, the original name of that series was Fearless.
Mm-hmm.
And we changed it.
Mm-hmm. Because, yeah.
Because I walk through fear.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though I'm afraid.
Yeah.
I do what I think God wants me to do.
Yeah.
And as I do that over time, that feeling of fear gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And so I walk up to something that used to be scary, and I don't experience any fear anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't. It doesn't start as fearlessness.
Mm-hmm.
It starts as bravery, and that's the call. Be brave and go forward in what you think God is asking you to do. What's the good work He has for you, and go do it. And in your life with the bike,
it sounds silly,
but it's not.
Uh-huh.
I think it's a. I don't think it's silly at all.
Uh-huh.
I think that everything in us is connected.
Yeah.
And so that bike,
yep.
Who knows what that's connected to in the rest of your life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so if there's something in you that goes like, I want to get a bike, I want to ride, great. Don't let failure hold you back. Get a bike, get out there.
Yeah, there's a whole other subset or a different topic of my need to go through every single detail to know it's the exact perfect decision. Mm-hmm. But we can just, you know, put that to the side because fear is the main proponent here. I think I do those things out of fear, actually.
Yeah.
All right. Well, how do I choose to be brave? How do I move through it anyway? Because I would argue, I don't feel like this has to be argued. We all have experienced fear.
Yeah.
You've felt fear before, right?
Yeah.
You definitely. Used to be afraid of speaking, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now you speak. A lot. It's part of your main job. You had to move through that at some point. But there are moments where we feel fear and we don't move through it.
Yeah.
Just as humans. Like we just in general, that can happen. So how do I choose to speak up or like that's probably my biggest one. Like how do I choose to speak up or move forward anyway?
You have two options.
Yeah.
You can wait until you're not afraid.
Okay, great. Let's do that.
Which will never happen.
Yep.
Or you can step out of the boat and hope you can walk on water, even though that seems impossible.
Yep.
That's good. That's it.
It's good.
Yeah. That's literally it. that's what I just pulled up was yeah. was the moment you're going to have. It's yeah. the it's the step out of the boat, Matthew 14.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Jesus and his disciples, or Jesus makes his disciples get into a boat.
Yep.
They head across the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and then there is a storm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if you kind of do context, he was most likely up on this place, Jesus, as the boat was in the water. Jesus is up on this mountain called Mount Arbel that mm-hmm. looks over the Sea of Galilee. Mm-hmm. So he's watching his disciples.
Yeah.
And he sees the storm come.
Yeah.
So he starts walking down. And then he walks across the water to yeah. the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And he's
mm-hmm.
like, "Hey, guys, don't be afraid." Literally what he says. Okay, I read this to you.
Yeah.
It says, "The boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it." Shortly before dawn, this is Matthew 14, by the way, 25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. Be brave. It's I. Don't be afraid." And then Peter, all of them are there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
At this point, Judas, still part of the club.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
12 dudes in this boat.
Uh-huh.
And one of them gets out. 11 don't. 11 of them stay in the boat. One of them gets out of the boat, mm-hmm. walks in the water, comes towards Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you in the water." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked in the water, and came towards Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's the moment. It's like,
get down to the boat. Yeah.
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 At some
step
point,
step out onto the water.
You have to look at Jesus and go,
yep.
"My faith in you
yep.
is greater than my fear
yep.
of
so,
failure.
So I'm going to do it.
My faith in you is greater than my fear of failure." That is the moment that'll get you out of the boat.
Yeah.
And until you get out of the boat, your faith in him is not greater than your fear. Your fear is greater than your faith.
Yeah.
And you get to flip that equation and go, "Nope, not for me, not
yep.
today."
Yep. And let me just say, as someone who endures fear a lot, and I, who knows why, okay, that's not what we're talking about today, but we don't have time. Fear is not a good leader.
Yeah.
Fear,
it's not.
And whenever I listen to fear, he shackles me further. Right?
Totally.
You know, it's like, okay, yeah, you can't do that. Okay, so don't do that. Next time, oh, you shouldn't even show up.
Yep.
Because they're, you know what's going to happen, right? You're going to be called out. You're going to, et cetera, et cetera. So, and you've told me that before. Like I think I asked you something and you're like, yeah, you can do that if you want to submit to fear.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't do that. Like if you believe in and trust in Jesus, we don't follow fear.
No. And I think the best way to think about fear is it's an alternative religion.
Yeah.
And it wants to be your alternative to God.
Yep.
The fear wants you to worship it.
Yeah.
And bend your life to it and make decisions according to it and prioritize it above everything else. That's what fear wants.
Yeah.
And it's the opposite of faith in God.
All right. To end, like, what is a way I can choose to be brave? Like, I think this is both a reality of being a Christian and a muscle we have to use, right?
Uh-huh.
So how do I start using it? Like, I might have just walked into the gym first time. How do I start using that?
This is going to sound really unspiritual.
Great.
But you start.
Start.
And you don't stop.
Okay.
So I'll give you, my kids are all going to a new school this year.
Uh-huh.
They start next week.
Yeah.
And my oldest, he just turned 14. We've been talking a lot last few weeks because he's nervous about going to school.
Mm-hmm.
He just realized, like, I'm going to be the new kid.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he uses the word nervous, but nervous is just a big word for fear.
Yep.
Right? It's the same exact thing.
Yeah.
And so I think at this point, if I said, "Hey, you know what, Ben, good news, dude, you don't have to go if you don't want to," he'd be like, "Ha, oh, cool, great, I'm not gonna go." Right?
Right.
But instead what we're talking about is I said, "Hey buddy, being afraid, apprehensive is natural."
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yep.
But listening to that fear is tragic.
Yeah.
And just because you're afraid of something does not mean you shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And then I just listed out for him all the things I was afraid of in my life that I did anyway. And I'm so thankful that I did them all anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the sweetest stuff in life has come from.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I was afraid to ask his mom out, but I did anyway. Right? Like,
yeah.
It's down on the list.
Yeah.
And so if you're at the at that 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 point, I asked earlier, you know, where are you paralyzed? Where do you want to do something? Part of you wants to do it, but you're stuck. You're not moving.
Yeah,
you have to take a step.
Yeah.
And if you need courage put into you, the best way to put courage into you is to memorize the words of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because the words of fear have spoke to your entire life.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard them for decades.
Right.
And so you're going to have to override them with God's words. So memorize Ephesians 2:10.
Yep.
Memorize Psalm 139.
Yep.
When we had our first kid, Sarah and I both memorized that that whole psalm, Psalm 139. Actually, not the whole thing, because it goes into like, it gets a little rambly at some point in there. No offense. No offense to the Bible. It's really good stuff. But it kind of hits a
where are you
different
looking?
Theme.
This is the one I read?
Psalm 139.
16 and 17?
I think that's what we...
That's what I just read, remember?
Yeah, we started at verse 1. You
okay.
search me and
okay,
you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise.
Okay.
And we got through, I think, 18.
Mm-hmm.
Because, 19 is about God slaying the wicked and all kinds of like, we just really want that first part. But it was, I think Sarah was really nervous about giving birth for the first time.
Yeah.
And we were both really nervous and afraid of being parents for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, not enough to like run away from it, but like, okay, well, we're just going to memorize this.
Mm-hmm.
And so that as we're in labor and delivery, we can recite this to each other.
Yep.
We can remember it together. We can pray through it together.
Yep.
Because we need God's voice to be louder than fear's voice.
Yep.
And the only way to do that is for you to turn up the volume on God's voice.
Yeah.
So that'd be my challenge. If you're stuck, if you're paralyzed, memorize something.
Right. Right.
It can be either the two verses that we said, or you just go to Google and Google Bible verses about overcoming fear.
Yeah.
Pick one and memorize it. Make God's voice the loudest and then take a step.
Beautiful. What I'll leave you with is, hey, I'm dealing with this too. Notice when you're feeling fear. You got to name it. You got to notice it. If you don't notice it, it just sits in you and you don't know what's going on. So for me this past weekend, or was it, I don't remember what day, I went to a bike store. I was like, I gotta start moving.
Yeah.
So notice when you're feeling afraid. What would be the next step? Ask God for courage. Think of the verse, one of the verses Kyle said, and then choose it. Choose to step into it, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. I know it's hard. This is hard. This is not easy.
but it is simple.
Yeah, it is. All right. I think is that it?
That's it.
All right. We love you guys. We will see you next time.
Bye.